This is session number 220, recorded on December 11th, copyright 2009, all rights reserved, New Grand View Incorporated, and we're starting at 6:51 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Good morning. We will let Carolyn lead.
Good morning, Ion. I took down some words from Dan Brown's Angels and Demons to go over them, see what Ion thinks about them. And it's mostly, we talked about it a little bit in another session, it's mostly about the Freemasonry order. And one of the first questions is, constantly they're talking about, or he's talking about, all the correspondences with Masonic symbols throughout Washington, the city of Washington, or actually Washington, D.C. And the question is, why did the founding fathers create in Washington a city of Masonic symbols?
Okay. They didn't. Lavallee did.
And who's Lavallee or Lavallee?
Lavallee. He was the architect who drew it all out.
Mm.
Because the it was a place that, you understand, it's a District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not United States of America.
Mm.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
And but in that space, that 100 acres or 100 square mile area known as Washington between the rivers was a little, almost like a swamp area, which nobody cared what was there. But it worked out great, and the architects then, Lavallee, drew it out. You realize the founding fathers were deist.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They weren't Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it just so happened that many of them were indeed of Freemasonry affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the symbolism, the symbols, just as a, maybe the grid, Bob would say an archetypal grid, of laying out these monuments. You see, a lot of monuments were constructed within those areas, making it almost of a Roman Parthenon version of what would be in America.
Mm-hmm.
With the, we have the Washington Monument, which is a great big obelisk, which of course leads into your ancient Samaritan, Egypt, you know, that area.
Mm-hmm.
Of the obelisk. Then you have the dome.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other dynamics that come into play that are laid out and set up in such a way that they supposedly have significant meaning. And the reason it was drawn up and laid out that way, even the way the streets are laid out, overlays Orion's constellation.
Yes, and I mean, these things are known, but I guess it's more the question, you know, why did they do that? And what I'm hearing you say is Lavallee, who was probably a Mason, and did he take his orders from the founding fathers to do
Never.
It that way?
Nope. He drew it and they approved it.
And was he a Freemason?
Barely, yes.
Barely?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, he wasn't a grand potentate or
mm-hmm.
anything high up in the what you call the order. But see, in those days, it wasn't a big deal to be a Mason.
Right. Okay.
It was just a fraternal order. Well, it's still just a fraternal order. You see, they're not there to take over the world or change the world. Supposedly, they're trying to, through the stages of enlightenment, bring themselves into a place where they can be salt and light to the world. and that you have to give credence to a deity or a creator, that's fine, but there's no dogma attached to it, so therefore all can participate. And that's all.
So is there anything to anyone's concern about this being a Masonic city?
It's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay, that's fine.
But now, is there another question?
There's a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of...
Let's do the underground tunnels. The underground tunnels are significant.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, because those underground, the part you don't see and recognize, there's a great deal of synchronistic connecting as far as what they considered the hypothesis or hypotenuse of energy flow. Their caricature says that through the underground tunnels, they can actually have an influence in the seat of power in what you call your capital.
How so?
Yeah, that's right. We thought that might tip your urn just a little bit there.
Are they waving magnets beneath the seats of the powerful or something? What's going on?
Line.
They're taking on the ley lines, are they?
Yes.
Okay, and...
And focusing... Well, we don't know the right word that you'll understand, but we'll try. Maybe channeled energies.
Hmm.
Whoa, that gets kind of woo-woo-ish, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look how the underground tunnels work... Then all of a sudden it takes on a very different meaning, almost that someone could be in other places than the capital and be in earshot of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Example, in your capital, in the center of the rotunda, there used to be a hole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And under that hole, there's a tremendous huge labyrinth of where things are stored, but mostly it was bodies. Okay, and the reason was being is because those recently undead in that seat of authority would use those with lime to magnify the deceased meat sack individual, but encapsulate their resonating spirit.
Wow.
And the underground chambers then come into a place where, and that connects to where the Declaration of Independence goes, that superfluous hole. And I still think we should give it to Canada, Mexico, because we're not using it, but they think highly of it as far as a hysterical document.
No, you completely lost me. The underground connects to the Declaration of Independence in what way?
The hole that it goes into if there is an attack.
Uh-huh.
It drops. It's in a rolling carriage, and it's dropped into this hole.
And is that the rotunda hole or a different hole?
No. Different hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected vis-a-vis tunnels,
mm-hmm.
and there's also... We don't want to have to redact this, but we might as well just give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's also under the levels of the mall,
mm-hmm.
There are also bunkers
mm-hmm.
where that your seats of government can safely be
mm-hmm.
contained.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and back to the ley lines and the channels and all.
Yes.
Are there people actively using those for?
Yes.
Absolutely. And who is using those channels?
The elephants and the jackasses.
So they each have some access to it?
No. We can't. We don't want to confuse it. Each, the heads of each
mm-hmm.
have some access. Mm-hmm. But they have to balance it, because otherwise, if you watch what happens when you have a political dogma, mm-hmm. where the Republicans are in charge, okay, well, then they have the most in the Senate, then they control the House, mm-hmm. then they control the Senate, then they have that as a president, then everything that goes through is their way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it rolls on a little bit longer, and the next thing you know, you have a jackass for a president, and then you have jackasses in the Senate, and then they jackasses take over the House of Representatives.
Right.
But then they have control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like your moon phase. It waxes and wanes, and then somebody jumps ship, and then the elephants don't even want to play anymore, and then they just don't run. So they're like, you know what? Y'all are way superior to us. You run it.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the ditch, so you dig us out. We don't want to be in power anymore, because, you know, and so therefore, that's when they'd ease up off the gas in this woo-woo land of connective energy force. That's when they would let off and let them run it. They pedal for a while, and then it goes on and on. Now you have different dynamics, and Lord have mercy, let CNN get a hold of this. It'd just be too much sugar for a time,
mm-hmm.
for a dime. Let Brent Hume do a great big thing on it. It'll be fun, and the fox would be watching the hen house then, for sure.
Okay, let's just make it a little more clear, though. So, it waxes and wanes, goes back and forth. How does the knowing about these channels have anything to do with that? It just seems like a standard waxing and waning.
Well, but it's interesting that the standard waxing and waning, it doesn't go in a consecutive order.
Mm.
Waxing and waning means that you have as much light of the moon as you have the dark of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case when you're talking about ether worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a great deal of ether power that can be activated.
Yeah. And
especially if you have a great big, what do you call those terrariums where everything is sealed?
Right, yeah.
All right, if you do anything in a great big terrarium, then it becomes systemic, does it not?
Right.
Anything you add to the ecosystem affects all that ecosystem.
Right.
Well, that's basically what the diagramming, the drawing, the digging, the tunneling, the outline, the score, the measure of landlines and or street where the street lights are, it's amazing. Those points of the red lights are exactly the points of Orion, the constellation, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, once you come into this place, you notice then they start branching out outside of it. You can go all the way to the Pentagon side. You know, you can get around in Langley, and you can get around to the Crystal Palace or Crystal City, and you can get to Arlington and Fairfax and those areas around it. Those are very different. If you notice, they're very specific to put certain arenas outside of this great big terrarium.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is because they don't want that nucleus having the same effect. Caustic sometimes effect of this channeled ether world. We'll soften it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You understand there's one heating system for all of Washington. You're laughing, but you understand what we mean?
It sounds bizarre, but...
No, wait. There's one heating system for Washington. It's all in steam pipes underground.
Wow.
And that steam is pumped to all those buildings. And then they take recourse on the homeless people, and they put vents on top of the things with the little chimney spouts so it captures the steam so the homeless people can enjoy warm weather and being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going, mm-hmm, but that's pretty amazing.
And why is that? I mean, what purpose does that serve?
Connecting, dear. Connecting steam, those pipes in those chains. what is an inky mist that carry with it? Intention.
Mm-hmm.
Being can change the relative humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Being can change the barometric pressure in which you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, you're kind of going, what the hell are we talking about? Well, it's the conduit within the ley lines that do take on a certain imbuable significance.
Wow. And
it's very great, dear, because nobody's ever asked the question. Even those that built it and took part in it, they didn't get it.
I was just going to say, was this a planned thing?
Yes.
And again, was it the Lavallee that designed this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what was his intent?
Well, to focus, to build a terrarium.
Oh, I see. So he designed it to be sort of inclusive and all.
Inclusive only, yes.
Yeah.
Even on Consulate Row.
Uh-huh.
Even on Consulate Row.
Wow. So there is a pulse in Washington. Everybody's beating to the same pulse.
And then that pulse sometimes is controlled.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the grid now, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very great fun place. It's a fun place. Do you understand that they're pretty good at telling when the cherry festival is?
Yeah.
Do you understand it's because they engage to make all the cherry trees in Washington, D.C. bloom at the same time?
Oh, do they? Oh, my gosh.
You do understand you can go to the cherry festival in Washington. And then you can go to Arlington, and they have probably more cherry trees there than they do in Washington proper, and they don't bloom at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Baltimore, you can you're throw a rock and hit all those other states right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not on the same timetable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose if you have steam directed at the trees, you can change their environment and or make it all the same around those trees.
You sync them up.
Wow.
Did you say steam, Carolyn?
Steam, yeah.
When is steam?
That's not what they use, but go ahead.
Yeah, so through those pipes they would direct something else.
No, dear. They can do it simply from vibration.
Wow.
Well, what do they vibrate?
Who knows about this vibration and what did
you do? We just told you.
Yeah, right. But who is controlling the vibration, first of all, of the cherry trees?
Ah, okay. Now you're going to get down to a new place. Since you're just hitting them on all cylinders tonight. The orchestrator of the great big brown building, kind of in the middle of everything, at the heart of the Smithsonian. Much of that control base is in the second sub-level of that particular building.
Mm-hmm.
Where the frequency waves are increased or decreased. Do you understand that the barometric pressure is even affected because of these, and we want to say magnetic, but it wasn't that way when they built it. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just trying to be purist and do what they were told.
Uh-huh.
But it made a grid, because the point was they were supposed to create within this landline capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way a dowser works, when you find the pipes and in those same fields. The idea was that once technology's gotten to a certain place, all of this conduit would be laid in place, and they were literally going to have a magnet, We don't want to use the wrong words because they're going to crucify you over this as it is. But the short version was that it would basically make a force field over it.
Under it, you mean?
No. It would, no. A force field would be over it.
Oh, yeah.
Over what?
The city.
Washington, D.C.
Wow, were they imagining that somehow they could have a protective force field?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't say they didn't.
Do they have a protective force field over D.C.?
They don't like to acknowledge it, but they certainly know how to engage it.
Wow. Okay. So at...
Very interesting. The plane that was supposed to go into the Capitol didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why you have to stay sitting down if you fly into Reagan International Airport?
No, and I know you have to. What's that about?
The reason you have to sit down is because as you breach that field, sometimes you can have a bit of arrhythmia. And they say you have to be sitting down because if you're a terrorist, that's when you take over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're a terrorist and you're going to take over, can't you do that seated from your seat?
Mm-hmm. With your shoes off?
With the shoes off. That's right. And put your head between your knees and kiss your rear end goodbye.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of machinery is down there doing all this at the second sub-basement?
Oscillators.
Yeah.
Wave frequency oscillators.
Wow.
The same thing that makes those whistles effective for dogs.
Uh-huh.
That you can't hear. Mm-hmm. In its simplest case, it was done from a baffling,
mm-hmm.
where they have the baffling to make it available. Mm-hmm. But now technology's moved it up to a, you can straight do it to radiation. Microwave radiation.
No, I missed that about the...
Well, let's do it again. In the beginning, it was just a baffling system of basically making such a vibration that it would be very irritating to the ears.
Uh-huh.
And you could crank it up if there was some kind of an infiltration, you know, that could blast you down just with sound.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Kind of, frequency-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But then technology caught on, and then you had this little fella who had some friends. His name was Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened it up to even more, that you created this boiler system that would provide heat for all of Washington, or the steam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that steam then, they had to have steam even before they had electricity.
Mm, right.
Okay. Which is pretty significant. Now, once that thing was in place, it was all plugged in, waiting for the technology to catch up.
Wow.
Now, Bob is reeling a little bit, but that's okay. We'll develop it thoroughly and give you more details than you actually want to know. But you're asking for the Agrippa version,
mm-hmm.
of how this plays out, because if you get much deeper, you're going to have to redact it because it'll be more than you want to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that could,
you see what I mean? It's too, you can't know that some of those things.
Right.
But you can bring up the aspects of how it works. Just look at the actual map of how Washington is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And if you look at the soil samples,
yeah.
From that area, they're very, very different.
Mm.
Not because of where they are, but what they did in the building and or construction of the Capitol.
Mm.
They brought in lots of stuff on those rivers, on the river banks.
Uh-huh.
Agrippa was a writer.
Agrippa, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I guess he did a simple version of writing or something.
Setting the stage of what was to be.
Okay, so In terms, we've got the steam, we've got the protective force field, then how does it work to change political opinion?
You turn it up or you turn it down, and it becomes more caustic or it becomes more soothing.
Oh, I see. Is there much... is there much variation? Is it mainly an on-off, or is there a sensitivity in it?
Super sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Your terror alert can give you a good gauge of how they're adjusting it up and down. You didn't ask how it works. Would you like to know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. If you put a DC current, there's more copper in Washington than there probably is anywhere else in the world. If you put a DC current, because remember for a long time they thought they were going to go with DC.
Right.
If you put a DC current through a capacitor or sub-switches in a very large copper pipe and have a pressurized beam in that pipe, then you double the capacity of you would call it radiation, but we would call it a vibration.
Yeah.
Okay, a frequency.
So
basically, you would have a great deal of interference with what you call your chip body. Okay, and they really had to work on this and put some dampers on it because the cell range was really kicking. No one's cell phones over.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you go and do it, you find many times, you know, you might as well throw it in the garbage because it wasn't working. But that was only because there was already so much. Now we would call it ambient microwave radiation. Okay. But they had no idea when this was all put in what it was. This was just a way of, you remember the story with the fight between the wind and the sun trying to make the man take his coat off? That's sort of like Washington, D.C. They can make you take your coat off, not by pushing it, blowing it off of you, but by making you so comfortable and warm that you will just take your coat off and fan yourself. That's a good, that's a simpler version of example. Now, you're drawn to your capital, and then you have the Smithsonian, which is to bring people in. Its job is to bring tons and tons and tons of people in. Guess what happens when you bring tons and tons and tons of people in?
You get a lot of human energy.
And that human energy in this particular panoramic field actually becomes the encapsulator. Now, what do you mean when you say encapsulator? Well, what we mean is when you bring in a new, fresh energy source.
Yeah.
In a resin field.
In a resin? You mean resonating field?
Well, no, we mean resin field because they have this the resin that they set the standard of. But you bring more human creators in it. Okay, that's the mob thing, you know, when you have a mob mentality. Well, it's the resin of the mob, of the group, that determines whether they are peacekeepers or mobsters. Okay, you charge the crowd, and they may charge your capital. Or we shall overcome, and then they just stand around and sing till Jesus comes. Same song, different verse, correct? Okay. So it becomes a very intrinsic way or draw to bring mass creators into that environment.
Now,
the more people, the better.
And is there someone there that's aware of that, or is that...
Well, of course, darling.
Uh-huh.
Well, of
And what type of person is aware of that and doing that?
They call him the Keymaster.
Yeah. And if in that Washington is a political town,
is it?
Well, that's what we're led to believe, that it's just, you know, back and forth, as you said, between Democrats and Republicans. And with the Keymaster, is he on one side or the other?
No.
How do the Republicans or Democrats get any control over what they want to do with it?
Well, I think they take the Liza Minnelli routine. Money makes the world go around the world, go around the world, go around. Money makes the world go around, or so it is, they say. There you go. It's that just little driving magneto of, you know, pay me.
Mm-hmm. And where is this money going to? Are you saying that they're paying off the Keymaster to do things?
They keep him so happy he doesn't want for anything.
Yeah. And why do they let him be the only control point?
He didn't ask.
He didn't ask what?
He didn't ask if his job was in jeopardy. He has the ability, and there's nothing to do about it.
Okay, so he's kind of the one that knows how to do it, and others may not.
It's like the man to come and work on the big fancy machine.
Right, and he
earns millions of dollars.
Right.
And it turns a screw a quarter turn and says, pay me. And they says, well, that's not worth that. You can't. And he says, no, it is too, to know which screw to turn.
Yeah, right.
It's very significant. It's worth bargaining twice the price.
So what happens when he transitions?
Oh, it's a ski. They're on the ninth. The ninth one.
And how do you get to be one of them?
Chosen.
Chosen.
Have you ever heard of the board of the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard how they seem to be able to do things that no one else can do?
I don't know.
Well, they can beat out the Gutenberg Museum for something if they wanted, and they can beat out the New York, the Metropolitan, if they want something.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have that kind of backing or power, but yet it is.
And why is that?
Well, because they are. Well, think about that. They have the ability and capacity in their position that they can have what they want.
Well, maybe in Washington, because they can control the steam.
No, no, no.
How does the web extend to other places?
Well, because of the grid of where that seat of authority or seat of power is.
Uh-huh.
And so Stinky goes downhill, it matriculates. And so that place becomes significant and maintained significant, and lots of things are there.
Is there more than
they haven't got Aretha Franklin's inauguration hat yet, though, but they're pining for it.
Mm-hmm. So they're powerful and they're just keeping their power.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all very interesting. I'm sure Bob will have a field day with that.
Oh, honey, you've got him greased up now.
Yeah.
What else you want to know?
Okay. On the shining apex of the Washington Monument, the capstone there is a foot tall. And they say, incredibly, this small metal pyramid bore a famous engraving, Laus Deo, praise God.
Yes.
And then my question then became, and as we see in what this Dan Brown's talking about, they did not know that we are the God.
Yes, they did. They were deists.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Okay. So they did.
Now, here's what they didn't tell you. Mm-hmm. It's what's in the cornerstones of the Washington Monument.
They said there's a Bible. The Masonic Bible is there.
Yes, but which one?
I don't know. They talked about a Jeffersonian one.
Yes, which is very significant because his father.
His who?
Jefferson.
Yeah.
Father's family was one of the first Freemasters.
Oh, no. Cool. And then, I should have asked, are the Keymasters Masonic?
By default, yes. Do they dance to a different drummer? Yes, because it kind of overlaps itself.
Yeah, because if you're a Keymaster, it's like. Not that you're more than Masonic, but you have another dimension.
Exactly. That would be like saying, are all Masons Americans?
Yeah, gotcha.
Kind of. And you're right. Kind of like, well, sort of, it's not a prerequisite, you see.
Right. Okay, then...
You didn't ask about the power grid.
Power grid.
Where does Washington, D.C. get its power?
Ion, where does Washington, D.C. get its power?
From an anomaly, from a source of an anomaly.
Okay.
There are no grids going into Washington, D.C. proper.
No grids of electricity.
Right.
Wow.
You ever seen power lines going into Washington, D.C.? You don't see them anywhere.
Wow.
There's not one.
Uh-huh.
They make one.
Wow. Where
so
is
how
it?
Do they get their power?
I don't know.
Nobody else does either.
Wow. Do you know?
Well, it's the same system that operates the steam.
Yeah.
Also provides the AC and DC.
Uh-huh. Sure. Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh.
Thanks to Mr. Edison.
Ah, so Edison got in there. And now, are you saying Tesla?
He was the lowest bidder for the job.
Ah, so you're saying Tesla did some of the steam and Edison did the power?
No. No, Tesla just had all the technology. He was the imitator of creator. He wasn't good enough to get credit for it, but he was good enough to figure it out.
He figured it out, okay. And then they built from his...
With a little help from his friend.
Information, okay. So the same system that does the steam provides AC and DC current. How do you mean that? The same system? The same...
The same grid.
Running through the same tubing and everything, you mean? Kind of.
Conduit, yes.
Running through the same... Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, because the trick of it was is you couldn't... If you were going to, they weren't worried about terrorists. There was no such a thing. They, mm-hmm. You know, they killed terrorists. You wouldn't live long enough to be called a terrorist in the day.
Yeah.
But if you were going to, attack, you couldn't cut off the water because it's a separate system. You couldn't cut off the power because it was an inside system.
Uh-huh.
And it's like your Christmas lights when one bulb goes out. It still flows on through to the other bulbs. You don't lose the whole string.
Right.
So if it's no lines coming in, there's no weak points to say, aha, if we blow this thing up, then none of them have electricity.
Wow. Cool.
They're not even on the Three Mile Island grid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else I should know at this point before I move forward?
Well, we're just playing since you actually dug into it. Bob has danced all around this several times, but he never pinned it. He never pinned us on it, so we certainly didn't want to muddy the stream.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And then there's all the things about the America's great obelisk, the symbol of ancient mystical wisdom rising toward the heavens at the heart of a nation. So then there begins this
whole... The last great erection, is that what you mean?
Yeah, right.
Or the phthalic acid of life?
Yeah, very good, yes. And then there begins this whole backing and forthing about the mystical, what is it, the ancient mystical wisdom. And it goes on and on until it's discovered by the hero in the book or being told by the chief Masonic guy in the book that actually the Bible is the ancient mystery. And a discussion about the Bible and how it holds all, you know, the various mysteries that people have been keeping secret all these years. So what do you have to say about that, just in general? I can go to, they call it the lost word. The whole book is about the lost symbol. So they're saying the lost word is actually as the first words in the Bible. In the beginning was the word. So is there something general you'd like to say at this point about that? Ancient mysteries are really the Bible. Too big a question?
Darling, you just well, you just opened up all of the books of Moses.
Mm.
Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Kings, Chronicles, your Exodus, the books of Moses.
Mm.
When you open those, yes, that's what they're based upon.
Mm.
That's what it's based upon. But would you like to know what the secret is?
Yeah. Okay.
Can we just get to that and save all the pandering to get around to it?
Yeah.
That the power of all creation is in the spoken word.
Uh-huh.
Period.
Okay.
And if you get that, then you don't need anything else. And you can study till Yeshki comes. And it won't matter because the word is.
Now, what is real? I mean, that's very profound, very perfect that you grab that out right at the outset here, because they go on to say that it's all about the book. It's all about the written word.
Well, it doesn't, but see, written word, if it had to be written word, then God the Creator would be screwed if they didn't read and write.
Right.
So it doesn't work that way. And your meme of the day, Bob's chip bodies, they've been greasing up. And now they don't even use words to use words.
Yeah, they just use symbols and hand signals.
Yeah, and OMG, what's the BFD? We don't need to learn your words.
Yeah, okay, so then...
And your mind is very tricky because your mind doesn't really see the word. Anyway, it just sees the first and last letters. You see your little query where every single word is spelled incorrectly and it's just gibberish, but yet if you read it, you can read the sentence and understand what it means, and you don't know how you're able to do that. Well, how you're able to do that is that your mind only uses symbols.
No way.
What? Your mind only uses symbols. What? Your mind only uses the symbolism.
Uh-huh.
And then takes the symbols and makes a practical application, as Marshall McLuhan so aptly stated and quoted, and Bob can give you song and verse, of exactly how the android meme is embodied in the dynamic of the words or the creations that are summons from the dogmatic essence of the constant consonant of the vowel of the vowel.
Okay.
Emphasis applied. We had to have one little Marshall quote. We were missing Bob.
Yeah, but you'll have to kind of didact that sentence for me and give me something that I can
We'll run you next to Jesus. On you'll be all right.
And give me the Coles Notes version.
That you're going back to your symbols and they're becoming more important than your words. And that's what he was saying, and everybody laughed at him, and he was like, nah, you're right. What was I thinking? You know, that sounds silly. Mm-hmm. And yet, he was laughing all the way through because it was.
Very good. Okay.
And so much was that it is.
Right.
So much is that it can be. So much can be that it's referenced as empirically true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these, what's the next logical thing that we should look at here? The books of Moses?
No, we got it.
Okay.
We got the point. Yeah. When you speak, that's why Ian tells the clients, if you want something, talk about it all day long, how you want a Snicker bar, and say it to everybody how you loved your Snicker bars. Right, Ion?
That's exactly correct.
Wow.
And then by default, it has no choice but to be your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You provide no other laudable conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other capacity made possible. That's why these drugs are giving these people all these problems. Because they say, take this, and, oh, there are certain side effects that make you, your liver won't work, you cannot see, you cannot pee, the golden years are killing thee. They undo the whole dynamic so much so that they'll embrace more of the side effects than, or causality, than they do the benefit of what you're taking the damn thing for to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why it's your medicine's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
Even with no death.
Right.
So, you know, in a cartoon column, they might show a person speak, says the word flower, and a flower will come out of the mouth, and then he'll hand it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon. That's what goes on. You speak flower, flower is manifested.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And what's, I know this was just a novel, but he really emphasized...
Now, did you hear what you said there, my dear? It was just a novel. It was just written words. It was just introduced as a meme.
Right.
It was just embraced that it's just about almost now become a holistic religion.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny creation. It was just a little bloodline. It was just a little way to think about it a different way. It was just a little way to take on all of the papacy and question every dynamic that the Peter's Church, not John's, but Peter's Church, was built upon. It was just a little whimsical thought that activated human creators to such a degree that they were just astoundedly dumbfounded by this delicious interaction with this fiction, piece of fiction, which has now been born again. Yeah, it was just a little nothingness. Never mind. It was just a little...
Just a little God.
It was just a little tweet. I was just tweeting one day.
But then But they got it wrong because they focused on the book.
But if you're not going to... If we answered it, but if you didn't get that, what else you got to play with? Well, what else... Okay, you're done. Here's the...
Spoken word is more... but I'm just making the point...
It's the essence of all creation, period.
And so how does that compare with the written word? That's all I'm trying to get at.
There is no significance to the written word.
Right. So...
None.
Yeah.
Zero.
So what the focus of this just a novel is that it's all about the book, which just reinforces the whole, left brain literacy.
So I guess that would be a novel concept to do it that way.
Right. And here's actually the foreword to the Masonic Bible. They wrote that out. Time is a river, and books are boats Many volumes start down that stream, only to be wrecked and lost beyond recall in its sands. Only a few, a very few, endure the testings of time and live to bless the ages following.
Yeah, there's a yin-yang conspiracy between time and books to reinforce each other.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
Can't have one. Oh, it's true. It was written down.
Yeah, so I agree about the spoken word, so that's perfect.
That's why McClone said oral culture has a sensibility that makes reality. Oral culture, they know that you make when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, how do I know the fact of stone without the word stone?
Mm-hmm.
That's an Eskimo says that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is...
Some of the stoners say that too, Bob.
The stoners.
Right. Right now...
So they go... Just to finish... I am just kind of finishing up
here. Well,
you
don't have to finish. Go through your notes. I thought there was a lot more.
You're doing great. Yeah, you're doing great, Connie. You're focused tonight.
Yay! I'm focused every time I talk to you, except when Bob's in the room.
I understand.
Okay, so...
And yet we love him still.
Absolutely.
Condescending bastards.
hey, we're the last bastion of bastards that are playing with you. You better behave.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's great. You guys waited so long that you're here.
It's the least we can do.
Okay, so then...
No, it really was the least we could do.
Yeah,
we couldn't do any less.
That's like, I was the greatest bastard. We weaved our way through 4 years of asshole sub-level C, D, and E bastards. We finally got to the A level, the A-list bastards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then there's
the rectum of reality.
So then there's some dialogue about why do you think the Bible has survived thousands of years of tumultuous history?
Has it? Well, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Has it?
Well, it's got changed constantly, as far as I know.
Well, how old is this empirical reference document?
400 years.
Well, boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Not very long.
Uh-huh.
Well, there wasn't even writing.
Yeah. And
they didn't have the language to write.
Right.
Oh, except don't forget that ancient Samaritan Hebrewoid. Now, that's significant. But other than that, you see, it was all like the Masons, word of mouth.
Right. But I was saying that the Bible is only 400 years old because that's the King James version.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Gnostic Bibles were...
What Catholic Bible? What is the Bible? What the Catholics have? They have a Latin Bible? They don't have a King James Version, correct?
That's correct.
They could have more accuracy.
No, they don't.
Hmm.
They don't. They have the monk's version of the scriptures.
Right.
Which is subject to... The cadence of the is it a sect or an order? What do they call them?
An order, I think.
Okay.
Franciscan order. So do the Freemasons pass on the quote secret that when you speak, you create reality? Do they know that?
Yes, they do know that, and without giving away, it's not our job to out them, okay? Mm.
Uh-huh.
So we're not, but we will give you some warm fuzzies regarding it. They understand that if your word stands, if your word is plumb and square,
mm-hmm.
okay, then it will stand. You will not unsquare your knowledge, meaning make it not straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You will not, if your words are applied through the cycles of the Mason.
Your words will not apply. What was that, Carol?
You will not unsquare your knowledge if your words are applied through the cycles of the Masons.
You will not unsquare the. You don't want to unsquare.
Yeah, you don't want to hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. You want it to be plumb and square.
And if
you're plumb and square with every word you use, then you'll never be crooked.
Right, and you can stay on that path with Freemasonic knowledge?
That's the only knowledge there is. There's not much to this thing after that, Bob.
Yeah.
See, it peters out. That's it. Now you can go to the beach.
Okay, then they talk about how the different Gospels in the chapter spoke in parables, and they use that to say they were, you know, hiding wisdom. And they talked about the Gospel of John 4 warns, I will speak to you in parable and use dark sayings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk about that.
Anomalies.
Evil, but then they said, no, its true meaning is it was shadowed or just obscured from the light. So, again, hiding things. And then the parables have two layers of meanings, quote, milk for babes and meat for men. The milk is watered down. So all this talk.
But yet they're both proteins, aren't they?
Right. So then all this talk made me think of the Emerald Tablets and the origin. So when Moses was hanging out in Egypt, was he reading the Emerald Tablets?
Didn't have to read them.
He got them spoken to him?
That's correct. Very good.
Wow.
I was going to say, no, he was an ascended man, but would we say Moses wasn't?
Not ascended? Always. No. He didn't start ascended.
Right, gotcha.
So who spoke them to him? Was he right there with Thoth?
No, he was not with Thoth. He had... Do you understand when we speak of mantles?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a mantle. It's done to babies to this, even today. Even today, a baby will come forth, a child, a marvelous creator, and humans will speak over this child.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes the layer of the mantle, the surround of a fireplace, to a degree that it becomes what it's based upon, the life force.
Mm-hmm.
It's activatable.
We're talking about a mantle on a fireplace.
No, it's a mantle on a life.
It's a metaphor? It's some cloth?
Not a metaphor. Look it up.
It's a cloth or...
Speaking, a prophecy, words of whatever.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I'm smart.
No. It's not because you're smart. How did you know that?
I know things.
The references of through in your scriptures, the mantle, when a human creator is ready to give up the ghost... They pass their mantle to their predecessor.
Mm.
And so, and that is spoken. It's a blessing.
It is.
Blessing.
A bestowing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we talking about mantle in relation to Moses, was it? Is that what we were...
Well, no, we're talking about mantles as how you become in your ascension process of how far you go.
Yeah, we were talking about you didn't speak to Thoth. Then the mantle process came in. Somebody else mantleized Moses.
Yes, spoke those words, and those words took hold and became part of his beingness.
Mm.
Well, who was it that did it to him?
These little Hebrews.
Little Hebrew UFO green men.
Hebrewloids.
Were they human?
Funny, they didn't look Jewish to us.
Yeah, were they humans, or...
Yeah.
No, they were future terrestrials, now terrestrials.
Yeah.
Now terrestrials.
Yeah, but we don't want to send you on a spiraling.
Not that simple.
It is not that simple. You you can't quite get there from there. But you're very close to the basis of the understanding.
Yeah.
Because once you have the understanding, that's not even a question. The point is, did he get it from unrealized creations from the Gulf and came, and then someone had to validate that in his world and life? Okay, if that's what you want to say, then yes. They said sweet words over him and charged him, imbuing him with supernatural power, if that's what you want to say. But it's not really that way, because it's still not more powerful than the individual creator.
Mm.
You see, because Moses spent all of his life telling God, how he was less than.
Right, so what? How old was he when he was mantleized?
He had a 13.
Oh, okay. So somebody visited him, or was this authorized by the Pharaoh, or was this like a secret initiation?
What's the difference?
Well, did the Pharaoh do it then to him?
Never. He didn't know. Pharaoh didn't know.
Yeah, the ones that came and did this to Moses were not, it was not seen by others when they did it to him.
In the last books of Moses, the whole conversation as the Pharaoh and the God, which was God, remember Pharaoh was God?
Yeah.
The whole battle was Moses' God is more powerful than your God. That's what it was all about.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
So there's a discussion between the Pharaoh and God.
Pharaoh, who was a god, and Moses, who was a god.
And they said, Moses' God is more powerful than your God. And here you are all Pharaoh of all of Egypt. Everything is that you flip your little cattail to shoo away the flies, and kingdoms fall. And here this Hebrew Lloyd comes in here and says what's going to happen and what's going to be and let my people go, and speaking to God like he's a god. And then it comes to find out they decided that the whole gist of the, what caused them chariots to roll and Judah Ben-Hur to get all tangled up through the Roman Empire besides was that they weren't going to have it. Moses' God was not going to be more powerful than their God. And that was the whole fall.
Who's Judah Ben-Hur?
Hur.
Oh.
It's the reference of how the Romans got tangled up in the Egyptian story of old.
That later, at the time of Christ or at the time of Moses?
Christ.
Okay.
Moses.
Yeah, the Ben-Hur movie. Okay, so back to...
Yeah, I am... There's a very interesting part in here where there... Let me just Google it. They go into a few physical things, and...
I'm going to say, who they, Carolyn?
Yeah, who's they, Carolyn?
The book writers.
Yeah,
sorry, we couldn't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, well, Carolyn, who were we doing? We were just talking about the Moses and the Pharaoh, the end of the book. What was the question? And we didn't get that. What led to that? Why did he say all that? What was your question?
I was just asking...
the mantleization.
Moses.
And then who... It sounds like some special people privately came to him when he was 13.
Yes.
And Moses... unrealized creations. He wanted that, so it came to him.
Yes, and so it must have been in his reality, or it wouldn't have shown up in his beingness.
Right, and we're talking...
It was foreign, but it wasn't so foreign that it caught him unaware.
Yeah, so we're talking about this, about how did Moses know, have his abilities, Carolyn?
Yeah, I asked a question about Moses... I asked a question. So can I go on?
Yeah.
Okay, the hero in the book says, I'm pretty sure the scriptures describe in detail a physical temple that needs to be built. Because there was a lot of talk before that about, man is the temple. And the other aspect of that, Bob, remember this, they're going on about how the temple is the mind. There's no talk about non-physical, it's, body and mind.
Yeah. That's the book bias.
Yeah, totally. So he's saying, I'm pretty sure the scriptures describe in detail a physical temple that needs to be built. The structure is described as being in two parts, an outer temple called the Holy Place and an inner sanctuary called the Holy of Holies. The two parts are separated from each other by a thin veil. And then the woman in the book says, have you ever seen an actual human brain? It's built in two parts, an outer part called the dura mater, and an inner part called the pia mater. These two parts are separated by the arachnoid, a veil of web-like tissue. So I thought that was very interesting, where there's these veils described in the Bible and then in
Solomon's temple.
Anatomy.
Is this Solomon's temple that you're describing?
Well, the question would be, is there a correspondence or association with the thinning of the veil that we've been talking about?
No.
Okay.
They're talking about building veils.
Well, no, they're talking about recognizing separations.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
And so that goes all the way back. Now, Bob, we're going to have to engage a eureka on you here,
mm-hmm.
because that's the easiest way to get you caught up right quick to what we're talking about. The nuances of what they call the pea brains.
Pea brains.
You know, remember the version insane in the pea brain?
Oh, pinky in the brain?
No, Bob.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Eureka.
Oh, in the movie. Okay, the TV. What is the P? That was the P
cell. Those were particulates that allowed you to be in more than one space at one time so you could dimensionally travel.
Mm-hmm. They had that in any of the Eurekas we saw, Carol?
Bob, you talked about it all day, every day, and the name of the show, particular one, was Insane in the Pea Brain.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, and that's when they got under the beam and tried to translate, and the thing was broken, and they got stuck and all that. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, that's a better analogy than what your book writers are trying to separate or bring up to the surface for you to understand. If you could activate a pea brain organism or field particle generator that could allow that to be easily accentuated or known, then that would be a better way to understand the inner workings and the outer workings of the dimensions of the labyrinth of the mind.
Rather than having a temple demonstrated.
Well, the temple's okay because that's what they created and there's nothing wrong with it, but see, you immediately flip something to where the most human creators go, well, I'm not a Hebrewoid, and I don't know this, and I don't know how to get that, and I don't know why Solomon's so wise and why he built this big house. And if Solomon was such a big goober, why couldn't he keep his temples, and why did they have to keep getting tore down? And you know, if it's so damn good, why didn't it last?
Okay, so that's the Carolyn, in the book, are they talking about rebuilding the Solomon's temple or just
no.
a Freemasonic temple? Some special temple?
No, something in the scriptures talking about a physical temple that needs to be built. And then the woman goes to, well, our brain is the temple, and we have these temples in our head.
And they get off in that. But what part of the Bible is that in there?
Don't know.
Let's talk a little.
What's your...
Corinthians 3:16.
So First Corinthians.
1 Corinthians. So, Carolyn, Dan Brown is highlighting this temple quote.
Right.
And making,
also referenced in Chronicles 2.
Okay, so Chronicles 2 also. Chronicles 2 also.
2 Chronicles
yeah.
also.
So, Carolyn, and they say this is to be done, or someone says, no, we don't need to build that because it's inside ourselves. That's what they're saying, forget that.
Right.
And why did you bring that up?
Well, I wanted to know if it had anything to do with thinning of the veil. Is our brain veil thinning in order for us to break down these conduits in our labyrinth?
The veils that they're speaking of would become the... Can we use the word oscillary?
Yeah.
The oscillary walls of the labyrinth.
The what that they're talking about?
The veils that they're speaking of in the brain become the oscillary walls of your individual labyrinth.
Ah.
So they do talk about veils in the brain, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that in the book.
Yeah, there's dura matter, pia matter, and they're separated by a web-like tissue, a veil of web-like tissue.
That's biological facts.
Biological facts.
Yeah, so they're saying that's a metaphor for the outer temple I mentioned in Corinthians, and Ion's saying those are just celebrating the separations in your labyrinth.
Right, but then Ion just said the veils they're speaking about in the brain become the oscillary walls of your labyrinth mind, so...
You want to define oscillary? Is that oscillating, waxing, and waning?
Moving.
It's the building and the blocking and merging, Carol.
And if you can move them out of the way at the right time, then you have more access, right?
You have Alzheimer's.
Which is good, because you don't. Yeah, and your body gets healthy. Remember that, Carol?
Your body has no resistance, and it actually allows itself to be whole without its disease.
That's why I can't remember anything. I'm getting healthier and healthier, closer to Alzheimer's, Carol.
Well, but they use that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
All that happens is that people clear their slate.
Right.
All these cares of life that have been the big, horrible, terrible thing. People have had allergies so much so that they can't live. And they can't eat this, and they can't touch that, and they can't be in the room with peanuts and Fruit Loops or Looney Tunes or whatever that is. And then they finally slip out of that, what you call clinical Alzheimer's, and then they can eat all those terrible, horrible things that would kill them dead, and they have to have an EpiPen because anaphylactic shock would take them right out. All of a sudden now they catch themselves eating these very things that would have been their doom because of their labyrinth, and all of a sudden now there's no walls, and so there's no doom.
Cool. Yeah. So, in fact, then you said there was no association, but it does seem like this veil can be manipulated in the brain.
Yes, it can be manipulated in the brain, but that's not the parallel for the separation between physical and non-physical. Because
yes.
You can have non-physical and have no brain.
I got it. Okay.
It's that ifso facto.
Yeah, and you bring up physical, non-physical, and as I mentioned early on, they really are mainly talking about the body and the mind throughout. And the mind focused on the book learning, so there's really no talk about the spirit man or the non-physical.
Exactly.
Right. Now, there is one thing, actually, about this. A meditator, apparently, the human brain in advanced states of focus will physically create a wax-like substance from the pineal gland. This brain secretion is unlike anything else in the body. It has an incredible healing effect, can literally regenerate cells, and may be one of the reasons yogis live so long. Can Ayan tell us more about this wax-like substance? Is it real, and does it do stuff?
Well, okay, if you're talking about the collection that would be controlled through the hypothalamus and the pineal gland, then those secretions are not anomalies that just to the shaman or the hoagie yogis or the crystal liquors or whatever you want to call that. That is a simple natural expression, any more so than someone who has a raging temper has a super easily activated adrenal gland. Okay? So the answer, that could be an equation, but in an algebraic format, you don't know what X is. So we say, how do you get there from there? So the same way that a sugar diabetic, type 2 diabetic, has a decrease production of insulin, is that also an aspiration of enlightenment? They know what makes you less than. Well, you can take your body and become such a yogi, you can get so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. And so you could hang around for a whole very long time and nobody would ever notice, because nobody would ever care, because you'd be all tied up in your third range of yogidom. You know, when we go the stretching parts that you ascend to in the processes of quieting your mind.
Did you say ascend or offend?
Yes, both.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that type of extremism and
working on this wax limited emission makes you rather stupid because it's a natural process. You're just making too much out of a natural thing.
Yeah, because what I said in the beginning, the collections to the hypothalamus and pineal, those areas produce hormones naturally. So the yogis are just sort of focusing on the production of one particular type abnormally.
It's the same process that gave you opposing thumbs the first time.
This creating those hormones is part of our
making our opposing thumbs
maturation from the animal kingdom.
So the difference between you and the beast.
Those hormones are part of what differs us. Okay.
And made our thumbs different. So what's interesting is that these yogis go off, and this book is analyzing the chemistry of the brain. And all they have to know is that when you speak, you create reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise everybody'd be hairy, wouldn't they?
It would be hairy.
We'd still be animals.
If we didn't speak.
Well, but now beasts communicate.
Right, but so what, you know, well, what was your point?
We're trying to break the point is, as you come into a place of being follically challenged or not, If it's to line up everybody to be the same, you certainly would be able to grow hair on the bottom of your feet, would you not?
If everybody were the same.
If the waxing process that the yogis come to the place that guarantee them longevity on the planet, it would also sync them up so they'd all be hairy. They'd be, hair growing out of everything and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, explain why that would happen.
Well, they can't either.
Well, I mean, it does happen.
What could is as likely as validating the point that you're going to get this bluey, sticky stuff in your brain that's going to make you live forever. Well, you get some of that and you could just say, well, then it's all is lost because everyone's no longer hairy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an aspiration of living, of longevity, of how your growth of your hair is.
He's using it as a metaphor for the brain gluey stuff. The growing, the rule comes in, you got a lot of hairs, you get more hairs, you get immortal. The same ridiculous physiological symbol.
Exactly. And then you find one that's hairless, a hairless wonder.
And you kill him.
Sorry?
You kill him because he's different.
Yes. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't very fuzzy, was he?
Okay.
So the why are we getting into that? The hair thing. Oh, the brain. Is the difference between humans and beasts speech? Conscious use? I mean, the animals communicate.
No, because some humans can't speak. And some birds can.
Those that can't speak, can they create?
They certainly can.
All right, so we were saying that you create through the word, but you can also...
Now, that's the final frontier. The first line is thought.
And actually just...
sensory perception.
Yeah, and just probably to finish up what I've got.
He just said thought was extra sensory perception. Is that what you just said?
No, not extra. Since the first line of sensory perception.
Is thought. Thought is the first line of sensory perception.
When you have thought, then you run it through your senses to see how it's going to go.
So the process of creating through the mouth is the mouth is the last part of the process that begins with thought.
Yes, but see, creation can happen by pointing.
Don't.
If you can't speak, if somebody cuts your tongue out now.
All right, well, okay, communication. See, there's where Joyce and Finney's Wake talks about gesture as the first language. So
and that's an outcome, that's an outsourced product of thought through sensory perception.
Right, so this point, Carolyn, we're coming full circle in a way, that speech is a secret. If you think speech is just your mouth emissions, then you're missing the point of McLuhan and James Joyce. Communication is creation. Gestural, whatever thinking.
Yes, and the same thing. Here's another example that's not quite as graphic. When you do telemetry imaging.
That's an instrument, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
Doing that creates something.
Well, they can see it. Okay, now ESP, you don't have to speak a word to hear ESP and speak ESP.
Right, but telemetry is some kind of instrument picking up ESP or something?
No, that's another, that was another.
Okay, what, just telemetry is a technical thing used in space or laboratories or something?
And telemetry just, it gives you, it calculates in wave format what is occurring. Validation of a creation. Telemetry imaging doesn't require words.
It picks up stuff.
Yes.
So now we're getting broader. Now the television is a creator. Television creates.
Yes.
You might have to have humans as content, but you can play tapes.
But, well, the same way you have to have people in the mall to make their force field work.
In Washington. In Washington?
Yeah.
Yes, you got that. Good.
What'd you say?
You got
yes.
that.
Good. Okay, so now the beginning was the word, and the word was anything you humans make, Carolyn, including your gestures, including your thinking. It then breaks down into everything, which is the meaning of Phineas Wake. It's showing you that the beginning was the word, word's creation, and then it makes everything the word, the content. I said that to McLuhan, I said, are you a word analyst? And he said, yes, if you consider airplanes and bulldozers as the content of the word. Everything communicates or creates. Now, Ion, correct me on that, but what are we missing here?
You're not missing a thing. The however part is how that statement is true. That's a true statement, but then the question is how is that true? Well, the reason that it's true, however, is the input or the orchestration permitted by the human creator. But the bulldozer won't do it until you crank it up and put fuel in.
Right, the labyrinth of the mind determines what you are effective in.
Affected in.
Affective in your creation.
Good, 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 good. That was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last part of what I took from the book is they at the very end, the woman who's actually a scientist in noetic sciences.
Instead of noetic, they're a bunch of Freemasons around Edgar Mitchell because he went to the moon.
Right, they're trying to scientifically...
to the moon, Alice, to the moon.
Scientifically trying to prove the ancients, so...
Disprove the ancients.
Well, no, they're trying to prove it. She is.
No, now wait. Then, so how does science do it? If they can't disprove it, then it is.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Let me just finish
the
sentence.
No, that sentence about proving count is false. Oh, there's an insight. That is the cliche. Science proves thing. That Ion, when you first hear Ion start saying science disproves, it contradicts the meme, the way people think. Oh, science proves thing. But Ion points out, no, they prove things by trying to disprove it. And when they can't disprove it, then it is. It's kind of proven. See, that cliche is what Ion is always clarifying.
Yeah.
Isn't that noetic?
Very good.
What'd you say?
Isn't that noetic?
So she's saying the ancients already knew many of the scientific truths we're now rediscovering. Within a matter of years, modern man will be forced to accept what is now unthinkable. Our minds can generate energy capable of transforming physical matter. She paused. Particles react to our thoughts, which means our thoughts have the power to change the world.
Which is the same old nonsense. Now, here's what's Carolyn, that's a bunch of New Age stuff many books have said, right?
Right.
But I find Ion clarifies that, complicates or dismisses the simplicity of that, and they don't even know the implications of what they're saying.
Right.
That's what I get from Ion. Would you agree that was pretty cliche what the scientist said there?
Well,
true, but very limited in a way.
Exactly. It was the best shot they could, so they didn't get crucified, Bob.
I mean, Dan thinks he has to keep making money, so he says, I'll make a lousy book so I can keep making money because I can't put out the real stuff I might know. And therefore it creates the book sounds really shoddy, Carolyn. Well, based from our new enlightened state. I mean, that's just the Ion since March 18th. And even then before that it was shoddy, but it's pretty silly.
Well, what I think it does is it takes words and symbols that are sort of about the culture.
Allied with mystery.
And make people think that they've...
Are her hearing the mysteries explained.
Right.
And the explanations are ridiculous.
Okay.
Why don't we talk about the... No, we're sorry. We digress.
Oh, yeah, please digress. It's your turn to digress.
Why don't they talk about these human creators that are so superfluously innocuous in their web that they cast of what kind of fish they're going to capture in the web or netting that they're using, a focus point of fishing?
You mean the authors of this book?
Well, not just this book. We wouldn't give them that much credit, but margin it, open it up a little bit.
Well, who are you referring to approximately?
The Gutenbergs.
The Gutenbergs, well, all the writers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, writers. Good.
Yes. Okay. Why couldn't you discuss all day, every day, the things that have slipped through your cracks? There's a million times more that you've let go that's more significant, more earth-shattering, more mean-posing, more archetypal rafter shakers, that you've let slip.
You'd have to give an example because no one knows about those that have been let slip.
Well, really? That's interesting. The anatomical dimensions of a bumblebee.
No scientist has looked at that.
Well, yes, but they can't fly.
All right, it shouldn't be able to fly the way.
Oh, you're saying look at anomalies in nature.
You asked for an example
of a mystery.
Yeah, if they let those go,
and they can't
disprove it because he does. But yet, everything that they've done laid out to say about it, it's an impossibility.
But I like the way
conundrum.
Yeah, I like the way you call them the Gutenbergs. That's Joycean. You know, the whole bunch of writers, a bunch of Gutenbergs, or the I people. I think the reason they forget about the bumblebee is so many books have been written the last 400 years that all these imagery is piled up. And people are wallowing around in the dumpster of Gutenberg and thinking they're cracking things. And they don't even go outside and look at the bumblebee. You see what I mean, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find yourself being judged and limited by what Google has to say about everything.
Hey, a lot of print content on Google. Google moves print and images around rapidly.
They do.
Gutenbergism.
But you gauge your place of knowing on what Google portrays as is.
Here's an important point. People used to tell me, sophisticates said, well, I don't think, get much out of movies, but I'll go to the mainstream pop cult movies to find out what the public's into. Mm-hmm. And then they might bring that to their ad agency and figure out how to get the demographics to exploit it. But that's that. People look at the Google. They look at Drudge to find out what the others are thinking. It's a way of providing contrast for yourself.
Marshall McLuhan called that the author of a demigod.
I don't know that sentence, but what is the author of a demigod? What did he call the author of the demigod?
The meme of the day of what's being portrayed to gauge how the public...
Yes, he called that the word...
The public emeritus, how they're dealing with it.
Yes, 2 points, Carolyn. Like, take that phrase, the author of the demigod?
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of saying McLuhan's phrase, the word makes the market.
Mm-hmm.
The word's a god, the word makes the market. And then he said the Nielsen ratings were Big Brother, were the actual control point, but the Nielsen ratings are, to gauge where we're at. Yes, so you're correct in saying it that way. Now, what? But
I'm sure Ion is relieved to hear that.
Yeah, no, it was pretty touch and go until I got into it. But the... yeah, you were almost expelled. You had gone too far, I think, with that one. But if you look at his...
Gallon, me thinks he protested too much.
Yeah.
No. We think that you won't shut up. Now listen to this.
Bob. Yeah. It's now time for the woo-woo section of our program.
So the important point is in McLuhan's unpublished occult writings, he would talk about the demigod and the Gnostic god. That could be symbolically related to what Ian said. And Ian might be quoting something Marshall wrote in an unpublished article. You know what I mean, Carolyn?
Yeah. Can I bring up another topic?
Well, but I'm saying that people, you look at the media. It's a mirror to find out where they are or aren't. The habit is you keep looking at it and you kind of adopt the concepts and forget that you should be using the Google as something that you should ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But people get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a somnambulism in looking at what the Google is saying.
Fine. Okay.
Right? Perfect words, right?
The distraction of refraction.
Yes. And that's your summing of my perfect words?
Yes.
No, that's you saying yes, that's your summing. Were my words perfect?
Of course.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the mystery spiral blue light in Norway.
Okay.
It's all over the
Google.
Plastic thoughts, yeah. Apparently...
Russia's version of it.
I don't know.
Just read the news story, get us some facts.
Yeah, strange spiral. Residents in northern Norway were left stunned after a light show, which almost looked computer generated, appear in the skies above them. It looks like a great big seashell with a blue spiral light emitting from the center. A blue-green beam of light was reported to have come shooting off the center of the spiral. The mystery began when a blue light seemed to soar up from behind a mountain in the north of the country. It stopped midair, then began to move in circles. Within seconds, a giant spiral had covered the entire sky. Then a green-blue beam of light shot out from its center, lasting for 10 to 12 minutes before disappearing completely.
The spiral lasted, frozen there.
Yeah.
That sounds like a hologram someone projected, but let's see what happened.
So that's it.
And then they followed that up, did they not? Talking about the explanation thereof from a failed Russian...
A missile likely veered out of control and exploded. And the spiral was light reflecting off the leaking fluid is what... They're saying right here.
They had an explanation of it.
Always, Bob. You gotta disprove it. So, yeah, there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl. They did have a paralleling experience. Now we're not talking about worlds. We're talking about just so happened that was indeed going on, but had little or very nothing to do with the geography of getting it over Norway.
Okay, so you're saying there was a missile spiraling out of control.
Yes, but it had nothing to do, and that spewing, it would have to be the size of Pluto to have that kind of spewing to cause that large of a refraction from that far away.
Yeah, Norway is far away. No.
We're talking about it filled the entire sky.
It's a big space of sky.
Yeah, for a missile... having ejection fracture problems. How big would it have been to have that much to spew?
We're not talking about distance. Like, this happened over in Norway, Carolyn.
Well, we're talking about the distance from the Earth to the sky.
Right, but where did it happen, Carolyn?
Northern Norway.
So it was a Russian thing that went into Norway territory?
No. Didn't.
Well, no, hold it. Let's hear what they say. Like, I want to know what the Google says, so then we can correct it. What is the...
Norwegian defense spokesman said the lights were probably from a Russian missile test, claiming it was normal for Russia to use the White Sea and the Barents Sea as a testing ground.
So it's nearby.
But then, someone else said, the missile has likely veered out of control and exploded, and the spiral light reflecting on the leaking... fuel, but the mystery deepened last night as Russia denied it had been conducting missile tests in the area. A Moscow news outlet quoted the Russian Navy denying any rocket launches from the White Sea.
But it was a missile launching, so Russia's lying on that point, Ion?
Ion, what's happening, please?
Okay, now we're getting to it. You've had some activation, and this activation, something to do with what you call portals, and refractions of distractions, the distraction of refractions. That's why we had to slip that in.
Yeah, but when you say that term, that refers to television and Google itself, so we're not sure.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I'm wondering what you're referring to about the particular refractions, distraction there. You know, what are
you? Well, let him finish a minute.
Well,
of
he
sentence.
Said the phrase. Let's find out what he's referring to before he carries on in the sentence.
Very simply, look at the big spiraling light taking over the night sky. Okay? Look. There it is. And if you're looking at that, you're not looking at something else that's happening in Oslo.
You're not looking...
They're being distracted by this phenomenon.
So you're not looking at something else. Oh,
and
okay.
And was this something...
A vast breach in a portal in Oslo.
By conscious somebodies?
They're conscious, yes.
They were doing... Okay, are they scientists? Are they an old 70-year-old couple?
No. This was an activation of a live... There's dead portals and there's live portals. When you activate a live portal, that is causes quite a stir.
How does one activate one?
Well, I've told you, and you ain't figured it out yet. So
no, you mean the legend. The legend we have. That's
yes, I do.
So you're saying some humans were doing that?
Yes,
activating
they
a portal
are.
In their living room, or sort of.
No, this was a big portal. This would be instead of a stargate, it would be a supergate.
Where were they standing to do this?
In an open. It was the edge of a. An enclave of sub-stratus igneous rock, an outcropping.
They're up in the wilderness, up in the wilds. They're up in nature.
Hills, yes.
And how many were doing it?
28.
So 20 of them tried to activate a portal.
They didn't try, they did.
Well, that's pretty amazing. We haven't even opened our own little portal, and these people are doing it in groups, Carolyn.
Sure.
They must have a better teacher than me.
They've been doing it for a very long time, Bob.
Yeah, they must. Oh, that we'll get into that. But here's an ironic statement. They must have a better teacher than we have, because we can't even.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's Ion to say. It's a B level. But anyways, take that as a joke,
sure.
Ion. They said right. They've been doing it. So who are they? Illuminati? Like who?
You marvelous creator, you.
Yeah, a little bit of creativity there. Just a little bit of thought.
Okay. All that's happened is they opened it.
No, we're just in who they do. Who's they? These are the Illuminati. You said they've been doing it a long time. Who are these people who can do this?
Just regular ascended man, men.
Oh, okay. And they have regular jobs, or they don't need jobs if they're ascended?
Some do. Some have engagements of things that occupy their time, sure.
Have they been around for hundreds of years, some of them?
No,
okay.
They haven't been around for hundreds of years.
Are they Norwegians?
Those were. There's lots. You're acting as though this is like a super saint supper club, that there's only 11 going to be involved. It's broader than that. There's ascended masters. Well, I don't even like that word, but that's what you recognize.
Yeah, living here in the compound.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
The people we ignore, Carolyn, are ascended masters. If they ignore us, we ignore them. So,
and it's not that you're ignoring them. You just don't. They're not bumping into your world. You're not bumping into their world, and you all seem to be pretty good with all that.
Right. Now, okay, so this is 28 people activating this, and then there was a distraction to cover up what they were doing?
There was an anomaly that was the...
The fact. They did
that,
it.
Yes. So that there was another large emission of a Well, the only way we know how to say it is that it would be a huge tachyon pulse.
Yeah.
When it opened.
And it affected a missile that hadn't been coming by?
No, had nothing to do with the missile. That's just what was said. You were talking about what Google said about
it. Yeah, but I thought you said the missile was true.
Well, it was true, but it didn't have anything to do with the light or anything to do with the portal. It was just a coincidence that it was also taking place.
All right, let's establish. Was the missile spiraling like the Russians say it was spiraling?
No, the missile was tiny. I mean, it was... You could have put it on your pillows in your big room.
All right, so it did not make a visible spiral in the sky.
No, because it would have to be the size of Rhode Island to make that big a splash.
Yeah, the missile would have to be that big.
Right.
Right. I mean, gotcha. Yeah. So that spiral is nothing to do with the missile, Carol. It's the effect of what the Norwegians were doing.
So
it's a refraction of a tachyon pulse when they opened that portal.
And did they go through the portal?
They did.
They beat us, Carol. Will they get back?
Well, you be quiet.
Okay.
So they got through. Did they know where they were going?
They did.
And did they come back yet?
They have not yet. Well, in their experience, maybe they have. Because, see, you really drop time then.
Oh, yeah.
But have they shown back up at their humble abodes yet in your time space? No.
So is anyone putting it together that they're missing and there was a spiral?
Nope. Because they don't notice it in their the other creators don't notice it in their continuum.
Yeah, you mean their neighbors don't notice they're missing. Is that what we're saying?
Any more than you miss a grain of sand from your beach.
Right, but I assume these 28 people had some friends that would notice they were not gone. If that's not true, then say so.
Maybe. Well, the only thing that makes it not true is time. And there isn't any, so we're not going to tell you how time isn't. So, if you can't get that, then you're screwed, because if you've got to add a time...
Oh, yeah, they could be gone and not back, and for those that live in their same house, their wives and husbands and sons, it would appear the guy was gone for an hour and came back, right?
And it could be gone a year, exactly.
Yeah, he could be gone a year in parallel world time, but actually it's only 20 minutes in our time. 20 minutes in our time, correct?
There's not parallel world time either.
Right, but whatever you call the year, that's not here. They're gone a year somewhere else, and then they come here. Now try to be patient with this, Carol. You don't want to learn what we're saying here, Carol?
Well, what we're saying is that you're...
Look, Carol, ridiculous. What are you doing, Carol? You're being...
It's just too much yelling.
Well,
but
not... Well, turn down the volume, but don't miss out. Well, we're getting to the real facts here. So the point is you're saying that they go into an experience in a parallel world, and it has some weird time measurement or no time, but the people that are still here, their friends who notice they're gone... will experience them coming back in an hour in their hour time, and they won't notice it's been a longer time than that. That's correct, right, Ion?
No, there's no time. So we can't use a false premise to explain a concept or an understanding based on the false premise of time. There's no time in the other worlds. There's no time in this world. There's just not time. There's just not this.
Well, is there missingness? The people that they're with won't even notice that they are not returned.
That is correct.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. There's not even will they return? From the people who are friends' perspective, will they return?
Yes.
Maybe they haven't even left from their friends' perspective.
Precisely.
Right, okay, I see. It's like, all right, so
what was odd about this, is that it typically does not have this much of a residue of physical noticed evidence.
They didn't do this as a performance art. They did not know it would be noticed.
And typically it never is.
Right. So why was it noticed?
Well, you human creators have started to engage these notions, concepts, anomalies, and they're starting to become more self-evident. Now, another one that's very interesting, and we talked about this explicitly, and you're waiting on it to show up in your empirical reference history, of the changing of the aurora borealis with the northern lights. Do you remember that?
Don't know what you said, don't remember, but it might have been mentioned, yes.
Well, you'll get to it in 73.
Okay, I think that I recall that, but I don't know what you said about it. Well, maybe you didn't. Okay.
Just that it was changing and it was going to be more...
The fact it was changing, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
But it's not that it's a portal or something or some manifestation of portal travelers.
But the empirical evidence is the anomaly can't be explained. The same way this can't be explained. And it's going to be, there won't be enough residue to hit on it for it to stay in the meme of your news very long.
Okay, let's, 2 points. First point lost already, let me think. I think as people hear about ION and what we're saying, however they hear about it, these kind of people are what ION once said to me. Bob, there are people coming here who know a lot more about certain things than you do, and they'll want to talk to ION. These kind of people might want to talk to ION, right? Because we're the only one out there talking about this portal stuff in a public format. Do you agree with that? We're going to get those kind of people maybe wanting to check out ION and have a reading with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
But typically when they're ascended, it won't come up in conversation. See, they won't want to talk to non-physical about what they know.
Well, we'll just show that they shouldn't be afraid of talking about it.
Well, they're not. They're not. They know. So it's okay.
They don't need to talk to ION.
Well, it's not. You don't. Yes, you don't need to. That's correct. We hope that if they embrace non-physical, if they're ascended, they already have, that then they can come instead of hiding it away in their own place because of the degradation of being different.
Yes,
my God, you can't be different. They'll put you in the same asylum, or at the very least, will crucify you at the very best.
Yeah, ION's movement is, hey, all you closet, all you parallel world travelers and ascended people in the closet, come on out. The water's fine. Come into the public. Right? That's part of our agenda, is to put it on the table and see if anybody else can come out. This is Stonewall 69 when the gays rebelled in New York in the village, and then that allowed everybody to come out after that. This is what we're doing. We're putting it out. We're encouraging others to admit they do this. You like that? That metaphor?
Yeah.
Okay. So the spiral, if that spiral is an actual image of the registration on some kind of matter or any matter, it's like the after image of what these people did. It was visible. The spiraling action is like the whirling of the clock backwards that you go when you look at our legend that you gave us.
Yes, and it would be an empirical reference of sometimes what you call a vortex.
Yeah.
And it shows up.
That's never been photographed like that.
That's correct.
That's a new photograph of an action.
Not the first time it's occurred.
No, but the first time it's been photographed.
And put on your plastic box.
Right. So Brandon, who's a regular listener on our cash flow and writes in questions, he wrote, Bob, he sent it to me, and then he said, of course, Bob. He said... something about, I don't know what he said, but then I said, oh, don't worry, we'll ask Ion to find out. And he said, yes, I know, it'll be caused by the thinning of the veil. And he's right, it's a manifestation caused by the thinning of the veil for our human creator's reality.
Well, no, not exactly, because think about that just a second now. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's noteworthy.
Yeah.
Thinning of the veil didn't cause it. The individual humans who are noticing and becoming plugged in to their non-physical through them, not offended by the labyrinth of their mind, they're able now for the first time to witness it.
Well, we don't mean witnessing it by having a photo in the plastic
box,
or that is what you mean.
that we mean witnessing it, that they could actually notice it. Do you understand you could have the exact same anomaly and not one living soul notice it?
Right, but when you say witnessing it, it's because we were able to take a picture? Is that what you're referring to?
No, that you have a witness that they saw it, and another witness that they saw it, and another witness.
Yeah. They saw. Okay, not the picture was also part of the witnessing, but part of the witnessing, people saw it. The fact that people, it's the first time that humans have seen the effect of some other humans parallel portaling, right?
And the thinning of the veil, because the veil is thinning, human creators, then you have the overlap.
Oh, wait, you said the thinning of the veil for individual creators? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. You have the overlap
with this anomaly.
No, that is the anomaly. That's what we're talking about. How about the overlap with the public consciousness? Is that what you're leading towards or not? I don't know why you go overlap.
Well, if you'll wait a minute.
Well, I'm just showing the sentence up to that point doesn't make sense. Maybe the rest of it would, but you have to recognize we're trying to follow. You say they have this experience, and then it overlaps with the experience, but I'll rest. Go ahead. Say the sentence. Complete the sentence.
The only reference to the thinning of the veil in regards to the noticing of the anomaly.
Yeah,
the anomaly is the spiraling in the sky that filled the sky and this color.
Yeah, that is an effect of those people who have thinned the veil in themselves.
In themselves.
Yeah.
That more than one can notice it.
Yeah.
Okay? And it can't be just displaced or explained away.
Yeah.
Okay. To the point, and you have a witness one to another validating that they indeed experienced it. Now, had they not had a witness, the cameras wouldn't have worked, the film wouldn't have rolled, the digital...
But also, it's not just taking pictures. People saw it. Those that didn't have cameras saw it. So they're part of the witnessing beside those with cameras, correct?
But if they hadn't...
No cameras.
No. If they hadn't been able to see it, there would have been nothing to film.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Okay, so yes, that's correct. The first thing that had to happen, look in the sky. What is that? I've done this with you and Carolyn many times.
No, okay, let's just follow the thought. You were saying if they had, I don't know what you were starting to say, if they had or had not witnessed it, what?
They wouldn't have witnessed it.
Okay, so the fact that they have several, like the person who does it, he experiences it, but this is the first time that others have seen what's one person experienced, right? And that's kind of like leaking out, a 100th monkey effect. The walls between people.
Kind. Well, not the walls between people. It's the plugging in of the thinning of the veil for the individual. And that veil was so thinned with the more than one human creator that not only were multi-human creators able to witness it with their own lying eyes, they were also able to digitally record it and do it over and over, and it becomes something fodder for the scientists to be able to disprove. And if they can't disprove it, then it is. But you see, the witnesses that saw it with their real live self, you can't convince them that they didn't see it.
You might be able to say you saw a missile if they didn't know about the hugeness required to do it. They'd go, oh, yeah, okay, we just saw a missile. They could accept that, right?
If they did, but then the inside says, wait a minute. Now, we have another reference that we would like to bring up that might clean this up for you.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Loch Ness?
Yeah, before we go into that, so the thinning of the veil is happening to individuals, but it's also happening on the mass level, I guess, maybe because more and more thinning of the veils create 100, individual thinning of veils creates 100 monkey effect where other people are thinning of the veil. But I'm saying electric environment helps thin the veil and overcomes the book, Dark Age. When Brandon says it's part of thinning of the veil, he's correct. It's an effect of the thinning of the veil, not only for the individuals, but collectively. Because
well,
we,
but But individually is how you get it collectively.
Individually, so individually, you know, individually
if
is individual.
They weren't individually. If the veils were not being thinned individually, there would be no mass.
Right. No, they go together. But the part of the mass seeing it, more than one, you know, more than the person who did it, who experienced it, more than them, more than that person, other witnesses, that is being able to be experienced by other people, what one person is doing, because of the thinning of veil of individuals overlapping and resonating and creating a opportunity for more than one mind to see it. Right?
Yes, good. And the same thing.
So Brandon is correct. All manifestations that are happening today and all these weird anomalies, the hidden ground is the thinning of the veil, or Rai returning to the place of to the plane of essence, so to speak, from cosmic
and worms.
And
so then when your TV body makes up a story to show, okay?
You mean in reference to this story?
No.
Okay.
Any story.
Yeah.
They make up something and everyone sees it. No, that was a weather balloon.
No. You see, news makes up stories 24/7. They just speak and they say that President Clinton did this. You know what I mean? They make up stuff. We're not talking about that kind of broad reality that the TV body does. You're saying a particular story in the TV body?
Yes.
In reference to a UFO, and then they say, oh, it was a weather balloon. Okay, I understand that cover-up.
The cover-up, then people go, oh, well, it was just a weather balloon. It wasn't anything outside of our knowing.
Right.
Okay. Now, some say, now, wait a second. I saw this with my own lying eyes, and it was very different. As a matter of fact, it crashed in my property, and they hauled the bodies out of it.
Yeah.
And you see, you can't change their mind. But if they're just a party of one, it's not such a big to-do.
Right.
But once at the veil, individual veils are thinning, and you have it on a mass or a large, we don't want to say masses. In like
just more and more people have it in thinning veil, more and more are open to see it.
Correct. Then they would be able to see it.
Right.
And then it's one of those things that science can't do anything with. An anomaly that can't be understood. Now, the same thing is true with your Loch Ness.
Okay.
The pool of water.
Yeah.
Okay. Where it's a loch. It's a body of water.
Yeah, it's a lake. It's like a lake. L-O-C-H.
That's correct. Okay. And people have been trying to see this Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with the thinning of the veil, okay, more and more human creators could actually see it, talk to it, swim with it, understand it, and have a personal interaction with this, what do they call it, this abominable sea monster trapped in the lake. And
well, there's been photographed for like 50 or 70 years. Is the thinning of the veil happening 70 years ago, or we don't want to bring time into it?
Or
is it happening the last 10 years, more and more people?
Those photographs are all trying to prove something that many of that are there know is.
Yes. And
you can't do it that way.
What way?
You can't do it by here's the photo, here's the proof of the photo.
You can't do it by photo?
Because they won't believe it. They don't believe it.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
That photograph was doctored. Well,
right. You got to have the scientists there and all their instruments and proving
it. But the scientists won't do it because then they'll say, no, that was just a noxious solar gas bubbling from the lake that made you think it was a fog, that made you think it was this 400-foot beast. Body of water.
Your point about the Loch Ness Monster, and more people are swimming with it. Does that mean like in the last 10 years?
Yes.
That I'm thinking of the thinning veil as like the last 10 years. You know, it's
the last
100 years maybe. But
and
the thinning of the veil is connected to the 13,000-year cycle, or it's not connected? I don't think it is.
Not connected.
That's right, not connected. We just happen to be in a wonderful time where the thinning of the veil is happening, and it's been going on for 100 or more years.
Well, it's been engaged. The meme is that the Mayans said it's up, it's over. Well, the Mayans said it was only halfway through the cycle, But they're saying, no, no, the Mayan said it's over. Well, then that becomes the dogmatic response of doomsday,
yeah.
morning, night, or noon, Jesus is coming soon, so get ready, turn or burn. And that dynamic then puts a heightened sense of awareness for those that are in this process of becomingness, as they are coming into their power. Then they can come to a place where it becomes a place of resonance. Here's the point. The point is the anomaly that's taking place, just like this spiral.
The Loch Ness Monster anomaly.
Or you're spinning in Norway.
Yes.
Well, with the more people, individual human creators, activating their non-physical through the labyrinth of their mind, they'll all be sitting, gazing at the exact same spot and in a perfect view, just like the cameramen when they were wheeling out Michael Jackson before he got there, how they knew that. That resonance, you see, will focus their undivided attention to these distractions. That's what we said that was.
Oh, wait. The people are sitting there, the 28 people, they're meditating or focusing to go through the portal. Why are we calling that a distraction?
It's not. The spiral on the other side was the distraction.
It's on the other side? The parallel world? Or phrase the other side?
The other side. It's
The effect after they did it. That's what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah, the effect after they did it. That's a distraction.
Yes, so nobody would notice what happened on their side. Where they activated the portal.
Why would matter collaborate with the humans that, okay, you humans are going to go in another world, but we're going to hide that fact by creating a spiral? That's what it seems you're saying. Matter collaborates with those people to hide what they did.
It does.
Oh, that's interesting. So
the same way it keeps the Loch Ness Monster a myth.
Right. Carolyn quoted the scientist in the Dan Brown book saying, particles can respond to us.
They do.
So that sentence is true. That's the most important sentence in that book for me. Because you're saying that the matter collaborates with the actual Loch Ness Monster so people don't see it or something.
Yes. If Carolyn left us, or she...
She's probably listening. I don't know what she's doing, getting ready for bed or eating.
I'm listening, eating, and getting ready for bed.
Yeah.
Well, join us for just a second because we have a fun... anomaly.
Yeah, before we go into...
Okay.
What about this matter response? What do you think of that, Carol? Matter is collaborating with... Can you
explain? We know that. That's law of attraction. That's creation.
No,
that's
no, no,
all
no.
That stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting what I think it is, and let's find out if I'm correct or not. The spiral happened to distract, so humans would see that and be distracted by these people who no one knows are on a mountain cliff and they go off into the thing. Why does matter have to hide the fact they did that?
Because ascended man can embrace it and don't even have a question, and the everyone else is always looking for a reason.
Yeah,
there has to be something there. Well,
they don't even know these people did it off the cliff.
Well, I understand that. Then your Rift Riders want to keep it that way.
Right. So some parts of matter rebelled and said, "Let's expose these guys and create a spiral in the air."
No, it's more like the people who did it just either consciously or unconsciously created a protective force field, and then that bounced something else off somewhere else.
So you're saying the Ascend Man's made sure that there was a spiral happening?
Oh, they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But
didn't have cognitive reflex of, okay, we're going to open this portal, and the outcome of that, so nobody will notice what's going on here.
Spiral.
We'll make this huge monster thing over here, and so everybody will be looking over here so we can slip in and out.
They didn't consciously think of that. That was
the outcome.
Yeah, that was matter or something within matter responding to what they were doing to help them not be noticed. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Correct. Okay, now here's our new trickery.
Yeah.
It's fun. And now people are going to listen to this, and they're going to go, wait a second. And then they're going to try it, and when they try it, they're going to go, get out. This is amazing. How is this? Okay. Now, the reason I wanted to be sure and bring Carolyn back, because you're going to have questions, because you're not going to have a clue what we're talking about. We know.
Who, me or okay. me? Yeah. Bob have no clue.
He'll have no clue. He'll have to figure out what we're talking about so it'll make sense for him. But people have in their automobiles and in their world these what they call keyless entry points, where you have these clickers that you can lock and unlock your car, crank it up, turn it on, do things with these clickers on your keychain.
Yeah, when you leave the car, you point your thing at the car and the door locks.
Correct. Or if you're coming to your car,
it opens.
You click it and it'll open or open the trunk.
I know both those.
Okay, good. Now, they have a proximity or a range in which they work. Do you agree?
Yeah, I heard about that. It's a range.
Well, because if there was no range, then, you see, JW could have a clicker and it could line up with something you have at your house, and he could push the button and lock or unlock the doors of your house and your, you know...
Right, so they program them to be limited.
Well, and they only have a certain frequency field of range that work for response, correct?
Yeah.
Now, here's what's fun. You can be outside of range, meaning further away.
From the other person with the clicker.
Correct. Or the person with the clicker to his automobile.
Oh, okay.
And you can be outside of the range, because normally you have to be like in sight of your automobile, relatively.
Right. Yes.
And then that's how those work. Well, you can be outside of the bounds that are in the constraints of that working clicker, and you can place that clicker and have it touch your head. That's the thing on the top of your shoulders, that your neck.
And you touch it, and you're not going to press the button. You're just going to touch your head.
You touch your head, and let's say you're way far away.
Yeah.
And you to put it to your head, and you push the button while it's touching your head.
Yeah.
And you will more than triple your frequency range of what that clicker supposedly controls.
And you will open your car.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Your electromagnetics jumped into the clicker.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that's the focus thing. And you'd say, well, why does that matter? Well, it doesn't. Well, why is it important? Well, it isn't. But it's fun, because then you can start activating just how powerful the quandary of your boundaries of your mind are. So much so.
Do you have to think the thought of what you intend?
No.
No, you just put it on your head and click it and it'll work. Okay.
Further than it would otherwise.
So that brings in the idea there's no time and space, because the mind is interacting on the non-physical and maybe physical level way beyond what we measure.
It is more than you.
Right. So right now I could be thinking thoughts and affecting someone in Russia, someone in particular who happened to be frequently aligned with me, correct?
Or not. They don't have to be frequently aligned with you. See, that would mean you'd have to line up with them.
Oh, okay, so they just happen to respond. Is there a reason why they respond and no one else does?
The resonance, the residue.
What causes that residue of resonance?
A single symbiotic relationship between the physical and non-physical through the labyrinth of their own mind.
Yeah, it's like I'm color blue, Carolyn's another color, and I'm the only blue, my kind of blue, the only one in the world, I'm unique. But there might be someone who has my kind of blue aura, reality in their being, that will respond to me. Because they're the same, pretty close to me. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, so how can you explain why someone millions of miles away or 1,000 miles away would respond to me and only that person?
The same way we have us on a radio show, and it goes out to many people, and some people are just catastrophically offended by it, and others are just go, wow, I have no idea what this non-physical thing is saying. I have no basis to have any clue that this even is.
Yeah.
And yet something inside of me just really gets into this.
Yeah.
There's a resonance. I don't even know what the words mean. And then he starts talking about this every dynamic of the body that science hasn't even necessarily figured out exactly yet. They got little...
Oh, wait, well, who starts talking about that?
We do.
Oh, when you're talking on the show, right? You start providing some content, yeah.
And they look at it. They want content.
Yeah.
But it becomes over the head of most.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But they don't care about that. They still have a resonance with it, the same way your clicker resonates with your
right.
particle accelerator, if that's what you'd like to call it.
The clicker, not your Hadron Collider. The clicker, particle cell, the clicker in your hand for the car, right? Or are you shifting over to Hadron Collider?
No, it's Hadron. We're talking about the head.
Yeah, the Hadron rather than the Hadron. You're talking about the clicker on the head, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and you call it the particle accelerator.
That field, that magnetic field that you have is, whether you accept it or not, like...
And its dimensions are not measurable. It's so...
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And that's a dynamic. And if that information that we just gave and we're playing with, if that brings you, Bob, into the notion, the place of grasping, that you indeed have more power than you know, then, you see, that becomes an anomaly that you can use as a human creator, Bob, to validate just how fabulous this being empowered place feels.
Yeah, the money begins to flow freely and easily. That's why movies have me in them. In other words, that's why it's best not to have any concepts about what's going on, because a lot's going on unless you get your rules and they're arguing with what's going on, making limitations of what's going on. Then you understand that everything you're communicating is communicating all over the place, and there will be particles, people responding. That would explain why, you know, the Snicker bars show up.
That's correct. And not only do they show up, there's others that will engage them because of your salivation regarding them.
Yeah, like the guy who gave us, Jared gave us the new boogie board. So the blue.
Exactly.
Right when we need a new one.
Exactly.
Because there's all this communication going on.
It lined itself up on your behalf.
Right, so that's why we call these now, these terrestrial, future terrestrials, now terrestrials, because it's all this now communication
and
going on.
Carolyn would have bought you one and brought it home, but to haul it would have just been silly.
Yeah, we yeah.
Let's ask Ion about this Kamalu guy at the beach. Care guy, he just rescues people.
No, a lifeguard, a guy who cleans up the stuff and puts the chairs away, a janitor of the beach, has suddenly decided to get to know me.
Uh-huh.
And I speculated that he watched me interact with this couple who were friends of mine, sort of, who dropped in, and he's never seen me interact with anybody other than Carolyn, and the way I comedically interacted with them, it attracted his attention. That's my theory, my reason. May not be what it is, but that's right after that he induced himself to us. Now we have to say hello to him every day.
Correct.
And I have to report to him after when I go to the beach what the beach was like. Was it a marvelous experience? I hate that. I hate it reporting on what I'm experiencing. Anyways, Carolyn's asking what's going on, what is he responding to, I guess, is what you're asking, right, Carolyn? You're talking to yourself, girl. You're muted.
Right. Why did he make himself known to us?
The resonance, the noticing that there was something very, very odd or different about you.
And was it the way I expressed myself to another couple that he noticed?
No.
That? Not, okay.
No.
No, it's because I told the guys about me seeing the monk shield, so they were amazed.
No, that's a few days later, Carol. That's no, okay, Ion, tell us, what was the initial noticing? What was it caused by?
Well, just the your normally average, typical, and then
And what have we been going there for? You've seen us for months. What is it that tipped the scales? You go, oh, we're weird. What?
Year change.
Ah, the change we've been going through the last couple of months.
Yes.
Yeah, the ion effect. Carol, and I opened the computer so I could, because I'm going to go through your notes on the Dan Brown book. I'm going to review all the points you typed out.
Oh, okay.
Because Ion said I was percolating and,
oh, sure.
You know, sitting on the seat of my pants ready to interrupt, so we let you finish. But, hey, right now your face looks like Lloyd Simcoe in Flash Forward. You look like Lloyd Simcoe. But that's just my mind resonating back with something familiar, right? Okay, so back to the, so what is the, he noticed we've changed. In other words, he noticed we changed. That's the point.
Yes.
And what is the content of his mind is thinking, explaining to himself the reason we've changed? Or what is it that have changed about? You know what I mean? What changes he noticed in his terms?
Well, no, it's not so much necessarily the quantitative change. It's that he didn't necessarily give you any attention from that place, and then all of a sudden there's something oddly delicious that you bring all of a sudden to the table, and
yeah.
He doesn't even know why. So it becomes like, well, if I don't know why, then I can ask. Well, if I ask, then I'll figure it out. And if I figure it out, then this might be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's just a natural attraction, in a sense, that's entered his being. We've entered into his radar, Carol.
Well, it's
also Jared who gave us the board, and, you know, we're interested.
Maybe they're discussing us a little bit, the group of them there, right? They're probably talking about us.
Certainly, and just the anomalies thereof.
Yeah, well, is there anything particular that we do oddly from their view that they've noticed? And you can be anything. You don't have to feel, have decorum. Is there something, the way we stand, the way we interact, the way I shower, the way Carolyn acts, why does Carolyn leave before he does and go up, you know, but what is it, can you focus on what they noticed was odd in their terms? It would just be a figure for the non-physical resonance, you know what I mean?
You haven't changed a whole lot in real life, but inside you changed.
Right.
Hugely.
Yeah, I think some of friends
of the resonance of that then would draw different people or the same people that want to be more and more and more in your environs.
Yeah, people are sensitive. They notice we've changed. Like whatever they thought, well, we weren't noticed before. Then we're noticed, that means, and they knew we'd been coming, so that means we've changed, because now they notice us. Something like that.
Very good.
But there's nothing particular. It's not the fact that there's no idiosyncratic behavior they're noticing.
Right. Very good.
Right. It's just generally they notice us, but before they didn't notice us, which is where they were. Remember they would hardly say hi? Now he says hi as soon as I get there. It's a burden to me. I like to just go around and not be noticed. Because then I don't have to come up with this cover story, because I can't let them know who I really am, Ion.
Well, okay.
Good luck with that.
What'd you say, Carol?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay, so what was great is Kamala told me his name means protection. And we noticed him a little bit few weeks before, because he had to run across the beach to save somebody caught in the tide. So we kind of noticed him at the same time, right, Carol?
That's true.
We had not seen them rescue anybody before.
Right.
We didn't know they did it. And then he told me his name means, Hawaiian Kamalo means protection. So we said, well, great, you're here to protect us. All right, Ion, so did you finish that topic, Carol? So this spiral is incredible. It's the first time the effect of people portaling has been seen. Right, Ion? That's pretty incredible. Can we explain this on cash flow, or are we not allowed to publish
it?
No one will believe it. But it's thinly veiled, but what's interesting. So what do these people that portal, what do they experience when they go to another world? Do they travel around like us in our dreams, or cope dreams when we're sleeping, go shopping in Bombay or something? Like, what are they experiencing?
Well, a blissful state of freedom.
Yeah, and they're floating about. But they're walking in the other worlds, right? A feeling like they're walking.
Okay, yes.
Or are they floating?
They can please themselves.
They can please themselves, yeah.
JW, please.
Yeah, JW, do you want to get another topic? I don't know why you're fading out.
Yeah, okay.
You don't want to talk about that topic anymore?
Oh, we don't care.
Well, okay, but beef up your energy. We're asking about what they're explaining. Not what they're explaining, what they're experiencing over there. So I can be explained to. Okay. that woke you up. Yeah, yee-hoo.
You need some water or something?
You need some water?
Yeah, we've been sipping along.
Hey, I had a Snicker bar today. I hope you have no craving. I hope you enjoyed the Snicker bar I had today.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. So, can you fill us in a little bit about what they're experiencing? What scenarios are they walking through as they float in the freedom world they're in? Or is that hard?
Develop it a little bit more, because you...
Well, when you describe our trips at night, we go shopping in Bombay, we go to Pakistan, we go to South America, and Carolyn gets her in a knot about purchasing something, and I'm arguing over the price. You know, these different little anecdotes happen. How could we anecdotalize what some of them are experiencing as they have left here and gone somewhere else? What are they doing?
Well, they have specific journeys that they have desires to engage. Sometimes it's to figure out what to do back here.
Right.
Sometimes it's to see how a climactic experience will play out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you see, it's just within, without, it flows.
And they've been doing this for a while. It's not their first time doing it.
Sure, I mean, you could do the same thing. How do people feel when they live in Michigan and they go to Florida for the winter?
Right, right. So, do they go to worlds that are exact replicas of our world?
No.
You can go to other worlds.
That's the point. If you wouldn't go on vacation to Maui, Bob. Because you're already in.
Yeah, but we go to Bombay, which is something we experience in this world, and we go to Bombay in our travelings at night.
Sure.
But they are purposely going to different worlds, not doubles of our world.
Correct.
Or maybe when we go to Bombay, we're not. Are we going to the parallel world Bombay, Carolyn, or are we going to the Bombay on this planet when we go
parallel
to Bombay?
Parallel world Bombay.
Right.
You've done both.
We go to both. But they can go to, why don't we go, hey Karen, why don't you arrange with JW to go to other, different worlds?
Huh?
Why don't you arrange with JW when you sleep to go to a different world, not Bombay, Pakistan, and
we have to get used to that and remember that first.
Well, you're arguing for your limitations.
Well, you did, and you haven't, why are you wanting to do it when you were the little figurine sitting on the mantle through the keyhole, Bob?
Oh, yeah, well, we know, sitting on the mantle. There was a pun on mantle. I didn't know. I was sitting on the mantle rather than receiving the mantle. But I don't know what that's happened, but I've been...
That was your description of what you were doing, and that was not anything to do with this world.
Okay, yeah.
And now you're coming back saying, why can't we do it? Well, you did.
Oh, I see, we did, right. Okay, just...
We were just asking because it's kind of like. Oh.
Okay, no, that's good. I did it. I did it once, but you guys have had every night and familiar places to me that we're going to. So I'm saying let's go to different places. Okay, I went to a mantle. I think there's some other places we could. I don't know, other worlds. So these people, are they all ages, the 28 that did this? Or they have no time? I mean, they're...
No, they're all two, Bob. They're all two.
No, well, what do they look like? You know, what do they look
like? They look like humans. They have eyes and heads.
But what ages do they look like?
They look ageless, Bob.
No, they don't. Well, maybe they do. So you're saying that... Are you saying these are like Saint Germain people that are floating about that are really ascended and... Quite removed from your local Rotarians and Kiwanis people and local Freemason.
But yeah, it could fit right into your neighborhood, and you would just think they were cool.
Right, right. And are they some that were born in other worlds? You know how one-third of the world population?
Some.
Yeah, so these are, they're like those guys who are overseeing CERN. They come from other worlds. Now, we were talking about this today, Carol and I, the parallel, the people in the parallel world, we're a parallel world for them, and they're a parallel world for us, and some of them can travel, but there are many people in the parallel world who are as oblivious as the ones around us here about the parallel world reality, correct?
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same ratio.
Same difference, yes.
Yeah, so Ion is implying that one-third, in previous statements, of the world is parallel world occupants. They weren't born here. Is it a different percentage, like maybe one-quarter of the world's population, or you agree with the one-third are people?
We'll stay with the third.
Okay, good. That's really interesting. I find that quite an exciting story, that we've seen the spiral, and the thinning of the veil allows people to 100th monkey it, because individual veils are disappearing, and others are disappearing, so we see it. But the camera, the person has to see it before someone can take the picture. Well, the person takes the picture, okay. So,
you wonder why we drift away.
Okay, so I'm going to get us back on track. I'm going to go over to Carolyn's chair, sit in the sacred chair of Carolyn, and read.